Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Andrew, brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, Assalamu alaikum. Almost exactly a year ago, I was deported from Egypt and declared the steps of the aircraft to be persona non grata, which means in English, a person without status. I told the civil servant who delivered me this news that the person without status in Egypt was the dictator Hosni Mubarak. And that the day would come, and come soon, although I didn't dare to imagine it would come so soon, when the tyrant will escape with his ill-gotten gains and his family members, but that fools and hirelings like him working for that regime would be lucky to avoid being strung up from these street lamps. But I was wrong. Mubarak is not a person without status. He has a status. And that status is murderer, torturer, dictator, and he should be on trial, not in the presidential palace. If we'd held this meeting last evening, and I commend the Stop the War Coalition for calling it, and for the demonstration on Saturday, and congratulate John Rees for the courage that he showed with all the others in the firing line yesterday. But yesterday was another day. It would have been a carnival. Tonight, we know, as John said, this decisive, vital, historical, epoch-making Egyptian revolution is in the balance, and over the next hours and days will be decided not just the fate of the great people of Egypt, the beating heart of the Arab world, 80 millions, 40 millions of whom are living on less than a dollar a day. We keep hearing that this is a revolution being organized on Twitter and Facebook. Well, 40 million Egyptians don't have bread, never mind mobile phones and computers. This is something never to be forgotten. But these hours and days will decide not just the fate of the great people of Egypt, but of the Arab world, 350 millions from the ocean to the Gulf, in all these states, virtually every one of which is ruled by a puppet president or a corrupt king, because if the Egyptian regime falls, all the Arab dictators will fall, one after the other, and they all know it. But insofar as I have any status in Egypt, based on the work of 35 years in and around the Arab world, insofar as anybody in Egypt might hear us from this great Stop the War Coalition rally this evening, permit me to offer a few words of advice from someone of a certain age, who has seen many revolutions and many counter-revolutions. The first thing is this, and I mean no rebuke to any previous speaker, but we have no need to be going around saying that this is not a Muslim revolution. Egypt is overwhelmingly a Muslim country. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing to apologize for about that. This is a revolution, sure, where Christians and Muslims are marching together. We're socialists and communists.
Country.
Sorry?
Don't forget that. It's also an African country.
Yes, it's also an African country. That's true. There are Christians and Muslims in this revolution. There are socialists and communists and liberals and centrists and non-political people who just want freedom in this revolution. But a very significant number of the population of Egypt support the Islamic movement of Egypt, and that movement has no need to hide itself under a bushel, and we have no need to buttress any such feeling on their part. I know why we do it. We do it to try and keep the Guardian and the BBC and the so-called liberal media from turning against us. I tell you, these media sources and governments like Cameron's and Obama's, they support this revolution like the rope supports the hanging man. There is no pleasing them, because as Low-Key put it so brilliantly, this revolution, if successful, cannot possibly be in their interests, and therefore they must wish it to fail or be derailed. They must, as a matter of objective reality, wish it to be defeated or fail or be diverted. So, my first piece of advice, if there are any forces in Egypt on the revolutionary side who are holding themselves back for the purpose of not seeming like a Muslim revolution after today, we need all force on the streets to take this revolution forward to victory. My second piece of advice is this. Don't trust the armed forces of Egypt. Don't fall for this guff that it's a people's army. Yes, fraternize with the ordinary soldiers. Yes, give them flowers. Yes, embrace them. Yes, proselytize for the revolution amongst them. Yes, embrace and try to win them. But the generals and the military brass of the Egyptian armed forces are bought and paid for in Washington and will do exactly what Washington tells them to do. And my third piece of advice is, in a sense, now partially academic, because if I'm any judge by tomorrow, though we may still, and John brings us news that we may still have some limited forces in Tahrir Square. But I believe tomorrow it will be very, very difficult for anyone else to enter Tahrir Square. The regime has decided that this square, with its great fountain of human aspiration, easily televised from fixed camera positions around it, is a problem for them with which they wish to finish. That means the revolution will now have to be mobile. Standing in one place has its place when you are millions and when no one can effectively disarm or demobilize or paralyze you. After today, that's no longer, in my opinion, going to be possible. And if I'm right, that means that the revolution tomorrow, but above all on Friday, after prayers, must march on the seat of power and disarm the dictatorship. Disarm the dictatorship. As Judith Orr said, in the words of Saint-Just, Those who half make a revolution are digging their own graves, and already enough of our brave Egyptian brothers and sisters are in their graves. This revolution must go forward to victory, or it will go back to defeat. And if it goes back to defeat, all these dictatorships who starve their people, who prostitute their countries in the interests of America and Israel in Britain and other imperialist countries, will breathe a sigh of relief and believe that they have escaped the wrath and the vengeance of their people. But if that revolution goes forward to victory, the gates of Rafah will come down. The siege of Gaza will be over. The Palestinian National Movement will be able to be reunited instead of being divided. And the hand of the Palestinian people under siege and occupation will be immeasurably strengthened by an Arab Egypt, a patriotic Egypt, a nationalist Egypt once again. And lastly, all the Arabs are watching this. I see in the audience some brothers from Al Jazeera. This great revolutionary wave owes so much to the brave journalists, camera people, and broadcasters of Al Jazeera. Nothing is a secret anymore. Nothing can be kept isolated in one of these artificial mini states created by the British and the French, Sykes and Picot, almost 100 years ago in the building in which I worked for the most of the last 25 years. Now the borders have fallen because of the existence of these great satellite television stations which are reaching audiences. Tonight, Al Jazeera will be being watched by 80 or 90 or 100 million people. And when they see this regime falling, they will look at their own regime, much weaker, much smaller, much less heavily and effectively armed. They will look at what's on their plates and how hard they had to work to put this miserable dinner on their plates. They will mull over the national indignity and humiliation which has been visited upon them by these tyrants for so long. And I tell you, I mean this, in the words of Lenin, there are decades when nothing happens, but there are weeks when decades happen. Within those weeks, victory to the Arab Revolution!